ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
And the Oscar goes to Elijah Cummings for 12 Years a Slave.
Oh, Jim. That was an off-air joke. Oh, wait, it did look a little like a scene from 12 Years a Slave. Daryl Issa ought to be really careful. The motions he makes around
Daryl Issa,
black
the
people.
Car thief.
Right. It's cutting Representative Elijah Cummings off, cutting his mic. I'm doing this, doing the neck motion.
He was.
I was like, supposed
to get a five minute rebuttal, and he just cut off the mic.
Yeah. Yeah. We already have Jan Brewer sticking her bone finger in the president's face.
God.
Seen right out of The Help. Now we have Daryl Issa. Yikes! That was awkward. All right, we'll get to that. Oh, look, speaking of the Oscars, look at what a follower I am. I ordered the same pizza for the show today that Ellen ordered to the Oscars.
Ah.
Yeah, Big Mama and Papa's. Okay.
Hooray.
I did bring enough for everybody. And by that, I mean everyone in the country.
You each get
You ordered three, but then Kevin Spacey took his own pizza.
We have a fun drive coming up. All right. So lots to get to. Oh, Sue in Rockville, who is a helper.
Oh, Lord.
Yes. No, it's not about you in Crimea.
Okay.
Just settle down, Skippy.
Crimea River.
Staff, according to the Travolta name generator, the show must now be called the Sebastian Merton Show.
What?
Co-starring Jay Weed and Craig Loing. Love Sue and Rockwell. Thank you, Sue. What is it? Sebastian Merton. Welcome to the Sebastian Merton Show.
I'm Jay Weed, man.
All right. And Julie in Seattle with a guess the quote for you, Jim. Who said... Now, if this sounds familiar, it's what Hitler did back in the 30s. All the Germans that were ethnic Germans, the Germans by ancestry, who were in places like Czechoslovakia and Romania and other places, Hitler kept saying they were not being treated right. I must go and protect my people, and that's what's gotten everybody so nervous. Who said that?
Lindsay Beauregard Graham.
No. It was Hillary Clinton.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Julie says, Steph, look who besides me remembers that Hitler used the rights of ethnic minorities, supposedly wanting to be part of the fatherland,
right,
as excuses to invade Poland, etc., just like Putin and Chris, who think Russian leading sentiments of some Crimeans means we should just give it to him. Sorry. Chris is sensitive.
It's not exactly.
Settle down.
However, lawmakers in the Crimean region of the Ukraine have decided to hold a referendum on March 16th on whether Crimea should become a part of Russia.
So they're just like Hitler.
Right.
See?
That was my
See
point.
See how that works?
That is what I suggested in the first place.
You know what?
Place.
I think just to bring unity to everybody, Chris, we should just stipulate now that everyone is just like Hitler.
Sure.
In some small way.
Godwin's law applies to everybody.
Exactly. There is only one man that is not.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. WholeFightStrategies.com. So inviting
to me. Although he does have a German name.
Hello, Carl Frisch.
Good morning, Fräulein.
I was going to say, unfortunately, you have a very German-sounding name. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's not German-sounding. It is German.
It is German.
With a K, yes.
But I'm just saying it's a very hard, you know.
Frisch.
Yeah. I'm half German, and it doesn't sound, Miller doesn't sound, well, actually.
Müller.
I'm sure it was changed somewhere along the line at Ellis Island.
Müller is the same
name. That was my mom's family's Polish name. It's really bad, long.
Is my mom playing Jim backwards?
Yeah, right.
My mom's watching. She's like, "Oh, Steffi." They changed it to Wagner. That was her.
Because that sounds
German.
Exactly
maiden
like Pushvi Stylo.
Right. It's shortened. Okay. It was it was someone in John Travolta's ancestry pronounced the original name. Good morning, Carl Frisch. Again.
Again. Hello.
Good morning.
This guy in Polish.
I loved your tweet. Who is buried in Grant's tomb? Hashtag Benghazi.
Yeah.
That's right. Benghazi's been there for a while.
It's the answer to everything, isn't it?
It is. My favorite was that Benghazi had confessed to the Kennedy assassination.
I mean...
And Benghazi cut off Elijah Cummings' mic yesterday.
Oh, I know. Yeah, yeah. Did you watch that, Carl, by the way? That was really, really
How
something.
How could you not watch it over and over and over again?
I know.
I mean, obviously, Elijah, you know, the congressman needs, like, a car alarm from Daryl Issa so that he can activate it whenever Daryl Issa steps over the line.
That was really, I mean, you know, as Elijah Cumming was saying, this is a first, right, to have a hearing, and only you get to talk? What's the point of having a hearing, right?
No, they used to call those speeches.
Right. 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 Yeah, that was incredible.
Is it wrong for me to want Daryl Issa to be hit in the head with a low jack? It seemed to be poetic justice.
The Stephanie Miller Show does not wish Daryl Issa to be hit in the head with a low jack. Jim was saying
that'd be pretty funny, though.
Okay. Anyway, by the by, you also did a lot of Oscar tweets, Carl Frisch.
Oh, yes. I was live tweeting the heck out of the Oscars.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah. You enjoyed the film Gravity, you say, or as Republicans call it, the film about the scientifically unproven theory. That's funny.
That's right.
If Chris Christie still ends up being their frontrunner, they're going to have to start believing Gravity.
Oh.
Wow. Okay.
Or not. I mean, what's keeping those pants up?
Van Allen belt.
Oh.
Oh, heavens. By the way, so in our gay stat today, Carl Frisch,
yep.
you saw the stunning Steve King, Jim.
Stunning.
From Iowa. Said that he obviously disagrees along with his good friend Michelle Bachmann about the what Jan Brewer did in Iowa, and he said because it's behavior. Being gay is behavior, and how can you make laws about that?
Yeah, being left-handed is behavior.
People would pretend, you know.
Right.
He said something along the lines of, you know, something about gay men smuggling cantaloupes in their pants or something as they walked across West Hollywood.
That's not what he said, Carl Frisch. You are confusing two inappropriate Steve King statements. But did you see what Colbert did? It was hilarious. Colbert wants self-professed gays to send photographic evidence to Representative Steve King. He said...
Well, I mean, he's basically asked for that.
He did. He said, right. Well, he told a local TV station these self-professed gays could just as easily be straight people setting up a case against a business that tries to discriminate against them. Colbert recounted that familiar scenario in which someone pretends to come out to their family, then pretends to fall in love, then pretends to get engaged just so they can sue their potential florist at the last minute.
Well, you know what? If they don't get the florist or these businesses don't discriminate against gay people, they've got nothing to worry about, even if it is somebody pretending.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hilarious. He said, as Steve King knows, even if gays do exist, it's nearly impossible to prove it. That's why he's asking gays around the country to send photos and or videos to Steve King from proving that you're gay, and he put up the actual address, which is hilarious.
Yeah, I kind of wish he'd put up the home address.
Yeah. Speaking of home addresses, Michelle Bachmann says Jan Brewer was wrong to veto the anti-gay. She's very sorry, she said.
Right, and Marcus said, what does vetoing mean? It sounds hot.
Yeah. She said, I believe tolerance is a two-way street. We need to respect everyone's rights, including the rights of people who have sincerely held religious beliefs.
And Marcus said, I love two ways.
And ironically, Marcus was having one while she was saying that.
Right.
this is how crazy it's gotten on this, just on issues of equality and all that. Did you see the Tea Party, the group that's teabagging Mitch McConnell, has a new ad out saying same-sex marriage, you know, the ruling in Kentucky is Mitch McConnell's fault because he's so liberal.
Wow.
Hey, there's now Republicans saying that Democrats need to stop using marriage equality as a cudgel to win elections.
Yeah.
If we've now turned the corner where it is being used as a cudgel to win elections, I'm happy about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure for you too, as a not just a gay man, but a political strategist, the fact that this was used against us as a wedge issue, and in this, you know, short amount of time, politically speaking, right? It's you're absolutely right. I think it will be a wedge issue, but the other way.
It's not even been 10 years since the November 2004 elections when Bush and Rove and company put those initiatives all on ballots all over the country to get, you know, turn out their base.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a Washington Post ABC poll that came out yesterday that said that 59% of Americans support marriage equality and that 50% of Americans believe it's guaranteed in the Constitution.
Wow.
At that rate, I would bet that two-thirds of Americans will be supporting marriage equality by the time the Supreme Court takes the issue up again.
Hey, you know, money's always an issue in elections, Carl. I sure hope they save those little flyers of the two grooms on a wedding cake so we can use them, you know, for our
right
in our campaigns to our benefit.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what they do after the fact. I mean, you've got them pursuing these laws like the Arizona thing, and then you look at this poll from the Washington Post and ABC News. 81% of Americans believe that gay people should not be discriminated against in public accommodations.
Well,
81%.
But you know, I can't remember which poll it was we were talking about, Carl. The thing I thought was, really surprising, the majority of people that don't realize how many states you can still be fired for
sure.
being gay, and people don't realize that.
You don't even need to have a poll for that. You just need to talk to your straight friends, and they're shocked when they find out that in 30 states, gay people can still be fired or denied housing or denied you know, a lease on an office space.
That's
more
than half.
And so on and so on.
By the way, if we had that rule in California, guess what this show would look like? Just Jim. Jim and Natan just drinking beers. That'd be it.
And it would always start at 9:17 a.m.
Yeah.
Drinking beers, talking football. Soccer in Jim's case.
Yeah.
All right.
Which is the real football
because
you use your feet 95% of the time.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Carl, you will be on with John Fugelsang, who's filling in for us next week. Yes, sir?
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Awesome. All right. All right, love you.
Have a good one.
I think we can all agree John Fugelsang's hair should be able to marry anyone.
Yes, absolutely.
Because everyone wants to marry it and kiss it and date it. All right. And love it and touch it and squeeze it. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's not radio. It's Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Okay, I lied. I did not bring enough for the whole country. I didn't even bring enough for this whole crew.
Nope.
You guys are lucky that Travis doesn't eat girly pizza. It's girly veggie pizza. He wanted man sausage pizza. All right. Jim, you need to remember to turn your microphone on. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Well, if I let it on all the time, all you'd hear would be...
And I appreciate you feeling that way about me. Oh, Fred. Okay. All right. So we have a big show coming up, by the by. Dean Obladi Oblada, comedian extraordinaire. And then Jackie Shetner live in studio for Jackie's Healthcare Corner in hour number three. All right. Fresh off being auto-asphyxiated at the Fort Lauderdale Sexy Liberal Show.
Auto-asphyxiation is not a thing. It's auto-erotic asphyxiation.
Well, that's what it was.
Okay.
Check out the pictures at Sexy Liberal on Facebook.
Unless you're sitting in a car.
Right.
Trans auto.
Oh, right. Exactly. Exactly. If you're doing it to someone in a car.
Right. Or if I have a hose hooked up to the tailpipe.
Yeah. She's fine.
That'd be awesome.
It just looked complicated backstage.
Just a little brain damage, that's all.
All right. Speaking of Sexy Liberal, Tony in Sacramento. Mama, please come back to the city by the bay. And I don't mean Denver. Oh, is there another one? Oh, Mama, my partner and I celebrated our 10th anniversary at Sexy Liberal in San Francisco. That was a fabulous show. At the what's the name of the Orpheum? We sold out the Orpheum.
Yes.
Even though you don't have a station here anymore. No kidding. Because you see, there's no market for that sort of thing. Even though we sold out the Orpheum.
Yeah. Right.
Twice. Oh, and also they put Glenn Beck in my time slot, and his ratings now are
-5.
Zero. They're zero now. But you can see where there's no market for any kind of liberal thought in San Francisco. Have you ever noticed that I'm very bitter? That I'm very, very bitter? That I've been bitter since the third grade?
By the time I got to the fifth grade, I was very bitter.
That's right, fifth grade.
Very, very bitter. A bitter, bitter person.
I still think you have a huge fan base that would like to see you make the trip back to the Bay. Thank you! I know there are many fans in the Bay and Central Valley that would gladly travel the distance to see you, Carlos, John, and whatever assorted mookage and special guests would be willing to show up.
I know a few of them personally.
Pretty please, Mama. Wine country within... Oh, that's always a...
Wine country. I don't want to go.
Why don't we just
country.
Skip the middleman and just take the show right to Napa?
There you go. From a vineyard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where I can just lay under a spigot.
Exactly.
P.S. Attached my handsome romantic dog, Brody. Oh, Brody, he's so handsome, Fred. Look. Oh. All right. So lots to get to. By the way, I believe Hillary Clinton reviewed and revised her remarks.
Mm.
She said the Hitler thing at a fundraiser that I don't think she thought was going to be public. But she was making... You know, she was talking about the stuff with a lot of Michael Tomasky, who we had yesterday, a lot of people talking about clearly there are some parallels, although he clearly is not Hitler. Well, at least not yet.
She went on to address it later on in the day, Jews, right?
Yes.
Hear what
oh, yes,
what
please.
What I said yesterday is that the claims by President Putin and other Russians, that they had to go into Crimea and maybe further into eastern Ukraine because they had to protect the Russian minorities. And that is reminiscent of claims that were made back in the 1930s.
Yeah, she was making a historical point that she's not the only one that it's made. But as Jim said yesterday, it won't matter what she says because they will combine scandals to blow Ghazi. Mm-hmm. Because of Monica and Benghazi, she cannot be president. It just saves time to just go with blow Ghazi.
Yeah.
It covers everything.
Cover all the bases. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because clearly the BJ's her fault and clearly Benghazi. She was saying, she addressed the ongoing crisis at a fundraiser out here in California, actually, comparing, the Russia's decision to issue passports, in the Crimean region to population transfers carried out by Nazi Germany before World War II. She compared using Russian passports to Ukrainians with ties to Russia with early actions by Nazi Germany before Hitler began invading neighboring countries. She said, however, that while that makes people nervous, there's no indication Putin is as irrational as Hitler. This was someone that was there. She talked about how what Putin is doing now is similar to what Hitler did, providing these ethnic Russians in the Crimea region access back to Russia, Mother Russia,
sure.
She called it, right. Blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I think we already played that one. Okay, so by the by, there was a who is this? Oh, Washington Post. I thought this was a really good point. The Ukraine is Putin's, not Russia's war, because people, you tend to say, oh, Russia's doing this.
Right.
And that's I think that's true. The linguistic mix-up between the oppressor and the oppressed is resurfacing with Putin's aggression against Ukraine. Many analysts and journalists cite Russian threats, the Russian invasion, and the need for sanctions on Russia. And this is a good point. The truth is most Russians oppose intervention in the Ukraine. Even the state-run Russian Public Opinion Research Center found last month that 73% of Russians are against it. Consider the irony that while Putin's officials justified the invasion by citing the need to protect Russians in the Ukraine, Putin's police forces were arresting and beating Russians on the streets of Moscow and St. Petersburg for protesting against the war. And, we saw what happened with Pussy Riot and anyway, the Russian opposition has made its stance clear in a statement from prison. One of them said, referred to Putin's occupation of the Ukraine as a madness of a deranged ex-KGB officer. So, I've never seen so many Russian experts in all my life. I don't know about you. Who knew there were so many?
And now you've become
professor.
One.
Exactly. I'm a professor of Russian history now.
Right.
Whatever.
All right. Meanwhile, European Union unveiled a $15 billion aid package to bolster Ukraine. By the way, I know I slipped and said the Ukraine.
Whatever.
Somebody told me, somebody wrote and told us why, is because our roads out here we refer to as like the 405. Back east, they just go 295 south. Here, it's the 405, the 101. So we reflexively.
Well, they all say I-95, I-64. We don't say the I here.
Right. All I know is you cannot get to the Ukraine from the 405. But other than that, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Once fantasized about that
Stephanie Miller
chick you see on a truck's mud flaps. Took me less than a mile.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online from anywhere. Start your 30-day free trial of GoToMeeting today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the try free button, and enter the promo code Stephanie. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Let's go to Ron in California. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Mama. I just wanted to comment, if Jen Brewer hadn't vetoed that bill and Michelle Bachmann and Marcus everywhere in Arizona, they would actually serve Michelle but refuse to serve Marcus.
That's right.
So, unless she wants to eat alone, I would hush.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Okay. That's funny. It's funny because it's true.
They have corn dogs there?
Yeah, do they have those great big phallic Iowa corn dogs that Marcus likes so much? Mm-hmm.
They have them at Disneyland.
Do they?
Biggest corn dogs ever are at Disneyland. They're
really?
Awesome.
Yeah, well,
they're really
if you're a size queen, you know about your corn dogs.
Some of us are.
Well, Representative Michelle Bachmann is sorry that Jan Brewer vetoed the controversial bill in Arizona, the Turn Away the Gays bill.
Aw, bless her heart.
She said, right now there's a terrible intolerance afoot in the United States. and it's against people who hold sincerely held religious beliefs.
Whatever. Nobody is taking away her sincerely held religious beliefs.
You're just intolerant of homophobes.
Exactly.
You see? You're bigoted against bigots. Michelle Bachmann was recently quoted as saying she doesn't believe there's a pent-up desire for a female president. I wonder what Marcus has a pent-up desire for.
Huh. Corn dogs.
Right.
Something not involving Michelle.
Right.
Something that's lacking.
Right. Mm-hmm. When asked about that remark, Bachmann said her position comes from her own experience as a presidential candidate.
Because she
didn't have a
rat's ass chance
in hell.
Ever.
Right.
Because
people don't want her to be president because... Okay.
I'm a woman.
Obviously, she said, I believe a woman can be president. I believe a woman will be president. I just don't think it will be Hillary Clinton for obvious reasons.
Blowgazi?
She's proved that she would be incapable of being commander-in-chief.
Based on
right.
what?
Right. And Blowgazi.
And Michelle Bachmann showed herself to be capable?
Well, you know, a lot of people do blame, you know, like Dr. Laura's done that before, blame the women for infidelity.
Yeah.
Because you're not, you know, satisfying your man.
Exactly.
It's because Michelle knows how to satisfy her man. That he's not straying. So that's why she feels,
right.
people like her feel, you know, they can judge Hillary. She's obviously not, you know, taking care of her man, taking care of business at home, in the bed, like Michelle is. Yay! What? I'm sorry, what, Jim? Also, she says what? Nothing. Okay. All right.
Maybe she has a strap on?
No.
What? No.
No.
Jim Louise Ward. Okay, yeah, this part. Wait, I had to get to this one. Hang on 1 second. Sorry.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, talk amongst yourselves. I mentioned this to Carl first. Tea Party group blames Mitch McConnell for same-sex marriage.
That's
what
right.
now?
Oh, my idea. The turtles are renowned for.
This is how far right and how weird the Republican Party has gotten. The Tea Party group that's backing Mitch McConnell's teabagger, businessman Matt Bevin, is the crazy right-wing Tea Party guy that is running against him. Let's see. Oh,
because
we need scary ad
liberal?
Music. Yes, exactly. In the ad, two assumedly regular Kentucky Republicans that they just happened to catch on tape.
Oh, sure.
Discuss.
They're small business owners, and they like to listen to both sides.
Right. Right. It's in the wake of U.S. District Judge John Hayburn's ruling that Kentucky's ban on recognizing same-sex unions from other states is unconstitutional. So gay marriage, suddenly a topic. So, let's see. Blah, blah, blah. They discussed Hayburn's ruling, describing the George H.W. Bush-appointed judge as liberal, well-known liberal George Bush Sr.
Yeah.
And blaming McConnell for recommending him way back in the early 90s. Oh, okay, here, I should start this now. Okay. In the ad... The regular Kentuckians, Jim, who don't really realize when there are recording devices around them.
Right.
Unbelievable. Liberal Judge John Hayburn. Who talks like that? Political ads are so
dumb. Unbelievable.
I'm like, really? Are you ever in a supermarket? Unbelievable. Liberal Judge John Hayburn just ruled that Kentucky has to immediately recognize same-sex marriages from other states. Says an unnamed woman. The man asked in response, is that the same judge who overturned the ban on partial birth abortions?
Why, yes it is.
Yes.
You know, it's the conversations you have every day in the supermarket aisle.
Say, this spread is much more popular than our regular spread. And it costs 5 cents less.
The woman says, yep.
Jim never has a second cup at home.
Jim never has a second partial birth abortion at home. Who recommended this liberal judge? Mitch McConnell.
What?
You don't say.
What the deuce?
Deuce? Well,
deuce?
I'll be dipped.
Then the other person says, first it was funding Obamacare.
And
then it was giving Obama a blank check to raise the debt ceiling. Now it's liberal judges. I'm voting for conservative Matt Bevin instead. And scene. And scene.
I'm convinced. By that heartfelt endorsement.
Wow.
Seriously? I'm not reading off a teleprompter at all.
I certainly am
not.
In
fact, these are all my
Could somebody
opinions.
Move the bread out of the way? It is impairing one of my talking points. All right. Oh, that's hilarious. Okay, so this is the Colbert story I was talking about. Oh, Steve King, what would we do for comedy now that Michelle Bachmann is leaving? Steve King, as you know, said of the Jan Brewer vetoing the Turn the Gaze Away law, he said, since King's main objection to protecting the rights of homosexuality is that their self-professed behavior cannot be independently verified.
Okay.
Colbert decided King might as well be the one to verify it. So that's what I was saying. He asked gays around the country to send photos and or videos to Steve King proving that you are gay. And he helpfully gave the address.
He flashed the address up on the screen there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I might send him a little hot girl on girl. Why not?
Hey.
A little HLA.
Right.
Hot lesbian action.
Why not? Yeah. Check it out, Steve. What do you think of that?
What do you think of that?
He would like that.
You know, Matt.
Right?
You never dropped a piece of toilet paper on the floor and suddenly you're... No, that's never, ever happened. What is wrong with you?
No. I have a wide stance. I've never heard that in my life either. I'm like, no. All right. So back to the Ukrainian situation.
There you go.
Thank you.
It's a time for all of us to stand with the Ukrainian people in support of their territorial integrity and their sovereignty. And we are doing that.
New York Times had a good piece of rational response to Ukraine's crisis. The Ukrainian crisis has provoked a broad range of reactions in the West, including angry demands for immediate sanctions against Russia, charges in the U.S. that President Obama is somehow losing in a confrontation to Mr. Putin, because apparently he doesn't go shirtless and wrestle bears enough and lay enough manly oil pipeline and destroy the universe willy-nilly. The environment. Didn't mean universe. Well, you know. Blah, blah, blah. In the confrontation to Mr. Putin and thus endangering Washington's credibility and global leadership. And George Bush left that so magically intact. Now look what the black guy did. Did you see Rachel Maddow when she, we played the clip of John Kerry saying, you can't this century just go into a war, into a country on flimsy pretext. You're right, but it's awkward when you say that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so blah, blah, blah. Yet leadership and credibility is in a crisis mean reacting coolly and rationally, not rattling sabers or rushing into economic warfare that allies may or may not support or painting red lines that the other side can cross with impunity. This is what we said back when McCain was running. I don't want a guy with an anger management problem as commander.
Yes, you do. You damn well do.
It's this whole thing about, oh, Obama's so cool. But good. Or, Giuliani said, Putin acts. He just acts. He doesn't. I'm like, that's what George Bush used to do. Oh, Obama has to think about it. He has to talk to people.
Whatever.
Consult with advisors.
That's how we got into all that. I'm the decider. Commander guy.
Decider.
Do go. Thinking. Gay. Just right now.
I'm the decider, and I decide what is best.
Right, and woo, boy, did you.
Well, turned out to be worst, actually.
New York Times saying a bully welcomes a slugfest, and Mr. Putin revels in claiming Americans' conspiracy. At his news conference on Tuesday, he even described the battering to Russia's markets as a result of American policies. Right, but that battering and the decline of the value of the ruble were no doubt factors behind Mr. Putin's conciliatory tone on Tuesday, which is what you guys said. It's about the money, you know?
Follow the money.
Yeah. I'm not sure Hitler could be bought. That might have been the difference, right?
You never know.
Mr. Obama and Secretary of State John Kerry, these are the buttons they're pushing, threatening further isolation if Mr. Putin does not back down and cooperation if he does, while rallying allies and pledging substantial assistance to new authorities in Ukraine. This is why I'm glad we don't have the John McCains and all these other neocons like Bolton in there. Closing the door to any further dealings with Mr. Putin, as hardcore cold warriors want Mr. Obama to do, would not serve any purpose. Mm-hmm. So far, Mr. Obama is on the right track. Thank you.
Yep. Oh, because he's so reasonable.
Whatever his mom jeans.
I decide what is best.
Mom jeans?
That's what Sarah Palin said.
Yeah.
Well, the Americans see Putin, wrestling a bear and drilling for oil, and then our president, there he is, in the mom jeans, equivocating.
He's
and
never been in mom
bloviating.
Jeans.
Was that one baseball game?
That one time.
Whatever.
He had high-waisted jeans.
Oh, by the way, someone put a picture on the internet of Putin in mom jeans. Yeah, and he had man boobs. They were like up to here, the mom jeans, and he had the man boobs.
I dare say that Sarah Palin has worn mom jeans. You know, being a mom and all.
There you go. All right. So 45 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
God, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Carnation instant bitch?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang tomorrow for Fridays at Fugelsang. Yep. And then filling in for us all next week with all of our regulars and some other friends, other new friends. All right, so kids, Sexy Liberal Madison, March 29th, of course, sold out.
Although... Did you see that email from Roland?
No.
There were like 10 VIP tickets that were just released this morning.
Oh, my God. Oh, my
God. So go to sexyliberal.com and see if they're still there.
Oh, my God.
For Madison.
That's been sold out for months.
Yes.
That's been sold out for months and months.
The regular tickets are still sold out, but there were 10 VIP tickets released this morning.
OMG. Irma Gerd. Okay. Sexy Liberal Chicago, of course, is April 26th. By the way, we're trying to avoid these scalper sites are killing us. They're trying to sell tickets for like $900 for Chicago. Go to the official Sexy Liberal or Sexy Liberal Facebook to get the actual links. That's obviously Chicago Theater. And then coming up right after that.
Dear Republicans, this coming election year, progressives everywhere want to thank you from the bottom of our bleeding hearts for being you.
Go!
From your war on women, thanks for pissing off half the country.
Oops.
To the government shutdown, absolutely brilliant.
You must be stupid.
We'd send flowers to each and every clown and carnival barker in your broken, dysfunctional party, but instead, we're throwing a party. On Saturday, May 10th, the world-famous Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to Albuquerque, New Mexico for some good old midterm mocking. Stephanie Miller and her sexy liberal players will perform live on stage at Popejoy Hall. Tickets are available online at unmtickets.com. Don't miss the Sexy Liberal Schadenfreude.
What the hell is that?
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, May 10th at Popejoy Hall in Albuquerque. Go to unmtickets.com.
All right, get it, go. And then, of course, Minneapolis is Saturday, June 7th, the State Theater. Get it. All those tickets going very fast.
Yep.
All right, 52 minutes after the hour. By the way, Rocky, first of all, Eddie Money retweeted a tweet of ours.
Really?
I was sitting on the plane next to him on the way back from Sexy Liberal.
Yeah, he's so money and he doesn't even know it.
Right? Exactly. Eddie Money retweeted a tweet you were mentioned in. Eddie Money did Take Me Home Tonight. With I don't know who tweeted that, whatever. But anyway.
Huh.
And Rocky Mountain Mike says, Steph, I think I've got enough bits to where I've covered every possible subject. Steph runs into Eddie Money after Sexy Liberal on a plane. Covered. He did this a long time ago.
In 2012.
Yes. Yeah, baby. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Woohoo!
Thanks for making time with Eddie Money. I too shot a man near the Mexican border.
Did you really?
Oh, no, it was a guy in Reno just to watch him die.
Right, exactly. Yes. That's something entirely different. Okay. Yes, thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. You are also a psychic.
Prescient,
in addition to prescient and precious.
And Prussian.
And
not Prussian.
But really,
as far as we know, I mean, who knows?
Okay. Curtis in Los. Oh, and by the way, another Free Speech TV fun drive because starting next week, and we will be giving away Sexy Liberal tickets, the very fancy VIP tickets to upcoming shows.
Fancy.
Curtis in Las Vegas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Curtis.
Hey, how you doing? Good. Hey, I got two quick points here.
I'm a little tired with the liberals, and I'm a progressive, but I think we're sleeping on the Congress. We have two seats up right now in Nevada, the Republican seats, and we're going to win those. They're going to turn Democratic in the midterm election.
They're going to turn Democratic?
For the House?
I'm talking about the House.
Yeah.
I, everybody's, you know, I think a lot of progressive liberals, Democrats, whatever you want to call, on our side or have given up on the House saying we need 17 seats and everything,
right.
The district and everything else. But don't be surprised. People keep forgetting 2 years ago we gained seats in the House. I mean, it wasn't enough to overtake, but we gained seats.
Right.
So I think there's a shot that we can, if we probably won't take the House back, but we can even out the margins to scare them enough to where Boehner might think twice.
Curtis, I'm with you. I don't like, you know, this defeatism. I mean, I get it. And by the way, even without the gerrymandering, it's you know, these are the way these cycles go. I mean, normally in this type of election, when you've had a president in this amount of time, it always goes to the other party. So I agree with you, but I also agree with you that we shouldn't just go, oh, okay, so there's no point in voting because we're not going to win, because then we definitely won't.
Well, no, I mean, I'm glad you agree with me, but I mean, I get out and campaign. I'm a grassroots individual. And believe me, I'm telling you, we can take the House back if we get enough people out to turn out to vote in the midterm election.
I would love that, just to see the look on all the pundits' faces.
Stay positive. We can get the House. I mean, I understand. I know you feel like I do, but a lot of these people in the national media and everything else and on national TV, like, oh, it's a foregone conclusion. I'm going to win the House, but hopefully we'll retain the Senate. No, we can win the House. But what I want to talk about real quick, just one quick point. All these Republicans want to call the president weak and fine genes and all this other stuff, and then they say, "Well, world leaders across the board look at President Obama because he, you know, like look at him like he's a fool." Well, you know, these other world leaders look at what's going on over here. When you've got Lindsey Graham, Sarah Palin, I mean, just you know, John McCain and Ted Cruz and all these other people saying and doing some of the dumbest thing and calling our president out every 10 seconds. I mean, leaders that don't like us, they take that and they get emboldened by that.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, if you don't respect our president here, how are they going to help?
Exactly.
How are people like North Korea, Russia, and
Iran? You don't think they've watched this enough that they know exactly what Lindsey Graham and John McCain and Sarah Palin are going to go on TV and say? They absolutely know that you know, they are not going to stand behind our president. I mean, this is the game that, you know, they play every time. And Michael Tomasky said yesterday, if it's not treason, it's this close, the stuff they're saying. John Kerry, who is the Secretary of State, not you, John McCain.
Okay. I want to be realistic. This is hard, tough stuff and very serious moment. But I'd rather be where we are today than where we were yesterday.
Wow. Did Mitch McConnell really say this?
Yeah.
Here is a Yertl.
Can you think of any place in the world, any place, where we're better off now than we were when he came to office?
Let me start.
Yes,
we're getting out of Iraq, out of Afghanistan.
Those are all good things.
Syria got solved without firing a shot. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jim. What?
We're not in 15 pointless wars at the same time.
Right. Yeah. Pretty much everywhere. Now that you ask, Mitch. Thanks. Thanks for asking, though. Senator Kelly Ayotte.
For us to think that they weren't going to try to interfere with the territorial integrity of Ukraine, frankly, I think denies history, and also I just think was a naive view of this.
Yes, he's just a naive
old
guy in mom jeans that's not smart enough to wrestle bears. Oh.
I could give him some bear wrestling lessons.
What did Chris mean by that? Let's all ponder. All right, Dino Badala. Dino Badala next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Jackie Schechner live in studio with us. Next hour for Jackie's Healthcare Corner and just general awesomeness with awesome sauce. Right, Jim?
Lots of it. Mm.
Yeah?
Smothered with awesome sauce.
With more awesome sauce on the side.
Right, exactly. All right. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie. Voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Like somebody named Joseph did. Subject line, tell Savage to stop bashing Hannity. Steph, I'm a fan of Michael Savage, except when he attacks and belittles Sean Hannity and other conservative talk radio hosts. Oh, Chris, would you put that on my list of things to do to tell Michael Savage? Because that's really...
Why are we in charge of that? Why...
Like I've ever met that crazy person or would want to.
Did autocomplete strike again with that email?
I don't.
I don't think that was meant for us.
Yes, that's the main thing. Once I get this thing in the Ukraine figured out, I will find out what's happening with Savage and Hannity and get right on that.
What does Mark Levin think? Because he's sarcastic.
He thinks I'm sarcastic and ultra-left-wing.
Ultra-right-wing.
Left-wing, whatever. All right. Oh, here it is. I'm sorry. I misplaced. East my, you know who often gets...
Anyone who knows Stephanie Miller, and there aren't many, knows she has no audience.
All right.
She's been up and coming for 20 years. Mm-hmm. She's sarcastic and ultra-left-wing.
You know who has no audience? Glenn Beck.
Okay.
And Mark Levin.
All right. Love you, Mark. Love you, yeah.
No, you don't. You really
Big
don't.
Lug. Okay.
You wouldn't go up and hug him like you hugged Hannity.
Well, you know, I get, you know who else gets featured with me in Hannity's left-wing hate speech segments quite often? Our good friend.
Here he comes. Yes, it's Dino Badala. Yes, it's Dino Badala. Dino Badala.
Here he is. Liberal purveyor of hate speech, Dean Oblada Obladi. Hello, Dean.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good. I see. Who is this that wrote about you already? Talking about
the American Spectator.
Yes.
Nice. They, first of all, do not do anything to stop Hannity and Savage from fighting. In fact,
right.
We should sponsor a pay-per-view, like, cage match, like two men enter, one man leave, like in Mad Max. And just, you know, you arm it, you put in a chainsaw and a bunch of other stuff, and just see what happens, just for fun. And if they're actually listening and monitoring the show, I'm not actually saying they should kill each other. Not really. You know, just, like, fight each other would be nice.
Yeah, exactly.
And whatever happens, happens. I mean, I hope that we'll have a medical professional there.
Yeah, that's really my main concern, by the way, isn't it, Chris? People, millionaires fighting that have, like, 600 stations apiece. Yeah, I'll get right on that.
So, but they are fighting, so it makes my heart...
Yes.
Makes your heart sing.
Yeah. You wrote, they wrote about you being a liberal. Obladala sees no bigots on the left, though the daily MSNBC lineup is crammed full of crazies and extremists.
What?
Name one.
He names one.
Oh, Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton. Okay.
One in his own opinion, Al Sharpton. You know,
yes.
Like, so.
Okay. Anyway, because you wrote a piece, you said, is CPAC getting less crazy? And I guess by
I
their standards.
I'm CPAC. This is what's, you know what's crazy about the American Spectator, which is a, you know, a mainstream conservative publication, putting in their article like criticizing and attacking me is I wrote an article praising the evolution of CPAC from Neanderthals, from cavemen to people of the modern day. And I think it's a great move. They've been evolving the last 2 years. And you, instead of being like, well, look, even liberals are saying CPAC's getting better. The guy's just,
right.
I don't care. It doesn't bother me. Alligator skin. I laugh at it. But it's like,
you said, you wrote that for years you thought the CNC PAC stood for crazy.
Crazy PAC, yep.
Like the 2012 panel, the failure of multiculturalism, how the pursuit of diversity is weakening the American identity. Uh-huh. I missed that one.
Yeah, that was a great one. I wasn't there, but...
By the way, you said no one at CPAC seems able to edit. The names of their panels are like, very long. You were saying also in 2011, CPAC decided to no longer allow the gay Republican group GO Proud, right?
Yeah.
So, and
you know why?
What's that?
Gay people freak out some conservatives. They just, and I wrote about that earlier in the week for the Daily Beast. Like, really, like, in a bizarre way, like, you're the bubonic plague or something out of Outbreak or, you know, I don't understand it. It's not a normal reaction to another human being. It is a bizarre mental freak out.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is something like you're concerned about getting a disease or you're concerned about they're infecting you like some kind of horrible virus.
Right. Well, you made a good point in that piece. You said you really need to have some serious issues with gay people to say no to their money in this challenging economy, right?
Oh, the Arizona thing. Yeah, these people, they don't like gays so much. Like, no, I don't even want to take a photo of your wedding. I don't want to see you people together. I don't want to make, I don't want to serve you food. I want you out of my restaurant because you're gay. How dare you?
Well, because
that's in their mind. Like,
right.
What,
some,
what gets to the point where you get, really, where are you in your development as a human being where you're like, I so don't like gay people, I can't even see them in my restaurant. I don't want to see them.
Well, because you know what it leads to. Penis cakes. It leads to penis cakes.
Exactly.
They're under the impression that every gay couple has a penis cake, even the lesbians.
Yeah.
Well, I thought lesbians have the penis cake envy. Penis envy cake? No, they don't have that.
This was an interesting...
No, the head of the Tea Party. One of the heads of the Tea Party, and I know you know that. You probably guys talked about it. Actually talked about, what's his name, like Judson? Judson Phillips.
Yes.
Said that this law, the Arizona law, was to protect Christians from being forced from actually baking penis, huge penis cakes. They're always huge, too. Because in their mind, the way they in their mind, visualize gay people having sex,
yes.
It probably is men with huge penises.
Right.
And they sit there just thinking about that.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Yeah, exactly.
Over and over in their mind. They're like, that's horrible. I have to stop.
I'm not sure how.
I'm alone.
It's pretty disgusting, but I'm not sure I need to think about it some more.
Right. That's the weirdness of these crazy right wing. They're bigots, but some are hateful. Some are just, unfortunately, they have no exposure, and I think they're just regurgitating lies. So I hate to call all of them bigots because I think the leaders are, but I think some of the people who are followers don't question.
Right. You had an interesting approach for this piece. You first asked a conservative, what's your problem with gays? And then second, you asked gay people to reveal their homosexual agenda.
Right.
To find out what they were up to that was scaring everybody. So who talked to you? AFA's formal general manager, Dr. Buster Wilson, who was a man named Buster.
Buster? Right. Dr. Buster?
Dr. Buster.
He's a doctor. He's got a PhD, and he was actually in the film The Muslims Are Coming I made.
Oh.
We went to the AFA's office on surprise and just showed up with a camera because they said no to our interview request. We showed up in Tupelo, Mississippi, and he actually sat down with us. So we've kept in touch, oddly, by email, and he recently left the AFA. But he sent me a long email, and, he's a nice guy as a human being, but his words really are very clear. He thinks the homosexual agenda is not for equality, but you truly want to dominate.
Total domination. If you're a top.
Exactly. And they say that honestly, not in any kind of hyperbolic way. They think that gays want to take over the country, just like Muslims. And actually, Brian Fisher from the AFA has said that gays and Muslims have the same agenda, which is to destroy Christianity in America.
I love this one. The one Republican you talked to said conservative Christians are not just opposed to homosexuality, but to all sins like adultery and gluttony. However, he commented that adulterers are having parades in the streets, nor are they seeking legal protection to commit their sins.
He doesn't like parades, apparently. He's a source, and I can't name him, but he's a well-known guy who's worked for presidential Republican candidates and stuff like that. And he was being very candid with me. And I had not heard that before, honestly. Maybe you have. I haven't. That we're against all sins. And basically he's saying, look, if you gays just stay in the closet, we're not going to attack you. But the minute you come out and you want these damn parades and you want to throw it in our face and you want laws to say that you can engage in your homosexual activities that are a sin, then we are going to stop and fight you. And that's what he was saying. And
one of your comedian friends revealed a bit of the homosexual agenda. We're going to go ahead and keep living almost exactly the same as heterosexuals do, just with better clothes.
Sabrina Jalas. She's very funny. She's a Canadian lesbian who now lives in New York.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Now she's a socialist.
She's got that.
Yeah.
Come here, importing her Canadian sensibilities to our nation. And
by the way,
she's Lesnadian.
Oh, Lesnadian. Is there anything worse? By the way, CPAC, though you say it has mellowed, still will be offering us Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And Ben Carson, who likened gays to people who rape dogs and molest children.
Mm. Dog rapers. That's what I.
Right.
That's bestiality. We should make sure. Don't let them use the term bestiality. What they're saying is that gay people rape dogs or rape cats or any animal you choose, because dogs or cats or animals can't consent, so that has to be rape.
Yeah.
So whenever they go, well, it's like bestiality, I go, you mean gay people are like people who rape dogs? They go, no. I'm like, that's what it is, isn't it? And then they all sort of like, well, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, dog rapers.
You know,
so
you're right.
That.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they do.
They rape dogs. It's unbelievable.
By
they're
the way, did you see the
really
pit bull raper on the Huffington Post yesterday? Yikes.
Well,
yikes.
You got Sarah Palin talking at CPAC, and in her defense, I have to say, nothing. I can't think of anything.
Yeah. don't. Please don't speak. Maybe it'll be another love letter to Putin, perhaps.
Perhaps. And, yeah, she, her, and Giuliani, they're in love with the Putin man. I mean, Giuliani and Putin should get a room. I mean, he loves him.
He loves him.
But you know what's interesting, though? If it wasn't for Palin, there would only be 3 female speakers out of a total of 25 speakers at CPAC.
Wow.
So while they're making strides, it's clearly still overwhelmingly a white male place. They do have some color, and it's getting a little bit more colorful, which is good, and I applaud that. But they have more work to go on gender. However, I have to be honest, my conclusion was they have evolved for the better. They used to have the really vile anti-Muslim bigots. This year they got rid of them, and this year they actually have a Muslim conservative who I slightly know and we disagree with on a lot of issues, but he's going to be on a panel not being demonized. He's actually a part of it, and that's more important. And the gay group being back invited, Go Proud being back. They even invited an atheist group for like 3 days, and then right-wing people freaked out, like Brent Bozell.
Oh, oh wow.
Although we don't know, since Bozell admitted that his stuff is ghostwritten, we don't know.
I was going to say, did he freak out or did someone freak out on his behalf?
Right, someone freaked out on his behalf as Brent Bozell, with a Brent Bozell mask on.
All right. Dean, great.
But it's evolving for the better. So, I mean, I have to, even as a liberal, I have to applaud that. It's less inflammatory and more positive discourse.
Yep. Well, you know what? We're helpers. Hopefully you will join your friend John Fugelsang next week when he fills in for us, yes?
If he lets me. He's afraid of me. No, of course. I hope he'll let me on.
Of course.
We'll talk him down.
Have a great vacation.
All right. Thanks, honey. We'll talk to you soon. Woo-hoo. There he goes. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll-free from anywhere. Jackie Schechner on her way in. Jackie's Healthcare Corner next hour. Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Mama. I'm experiencing a CPAC horror story right now, a very personal one. My future husband is out on the East Coast for work, and he's staying in the same hotel where CPAC is taking.
Jack.
And he's with a very liberal group, and so they're all wondering where their "I support Obama" T-shirts are. But I was trying to convince him to, you know, pull up a Grindr, if he's not on Grindr, but to pull up Grindr and just walk around and see how many hits he gets. But
yeah.
Better than that, I'm going to have a T-shirt made and send it out to him that says, have him wear it, that says, "My husband calls me penis cakes."
You're a scamp. You're a scamp. How are we doing? Are you doing the Marcus Bachman impression for the Minneapolis Sex Symbol?
Well, if you insist, I will do it. I have called my corn dog supplier, and I'm good for that. And I don't have enough of the entire audience. But
have we chosen what number you'll be singing?
Well, no, you haven't. It's between "I'm Super" and something from "Meet Me in St. Louis." It's really your choice.
The trolley
you
song.
Are the host of
Clang Clang Clang. Oh, goes the trolley, or "I Am What I Am" from La Cage aux Foux.
Full.
I'll have to work on that.
All right.
French isn't very good.
Or Chris likes Xanadu on roller skates.
Something tells me that he would do the closing number from Xanadu.
Well, that, unless you want a broken hip, given my age, I think the roller skates are practical.
Right. Last few tickets to the June Sexy Liberal Show being snapped up just on the specter of what you might do. All right, Dave. Thank you. Charlie writes, "Steph, I combat right-wing radio hate by typing Stephanie in the box, not Rush Limbaugh in the referral box."
Thank you.
You know, the world would be a better place, Jim, the more people have Stephanie in their box. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
What I meant to say is the more people put Stephanie in.
Trying to visualize that.
Right. Mm. I think the more. Okay, never mind. You know what? I'll just leave that there. Okay, Patty in Fort Lauderdale. "Steph, I listen to through iHeartRadio out of either Albuquerque or Madison. Used to go to L.A., but they became asshats." Yes, they did.
They did.
Yes, they did. I listen to my HOA, Randy Rhodes, on those 2 stations as well. All right. And you can also get progressivevoices.com on the TuneIn app.
Well,
I use that one as well.
Yeah, just search for progressivevoices.com.
Right.
On TuneIn. Yes.
There you go. Exactly.
All right. Because, by the way, liberals need to make money, too. Just saying. I like this one. Someone named Michael writes, hey. I know when it starts, hey, it's probably not, you know, a love letter. Catch a glimpse of Mr. Moore's domicile. Michael Moore. Pretty much sets him in the upper 1% of wealth. Feel free to berate him as your show rails against those nasty conservatives. Oh, Skeeter. Skeeter, Skeeter, Skeeter.
Yes, but he made money by doing good things. By making excellent documentaries.
Al Gore's got a great big house.
Yes, Al Gore's got a house.
President at a hip-hop barbecue.
It's not about having money. It's what you do with it.
Right.
And how you acquire your
ill-gotten gains. We just had, who do we have
on? Poisoning the groundwater, for example.
Right, Jigar Shah, we just had on creating climate wealth. About a lot, there are a lot of liberal, quote-unquote, billionaires with a B out there that are trying to...
Al Gore has a big house.
They're trying to do good
and
make a living at the same time.
Yes, they get so upset when you mention the Koch brothers.
Oh. Benghazi.
We all live our lives and take our ability to understand reality
Backing up to Oprah.
Meet Skeeter.
He's a liar in chief.
While the rest of us are told not to text and drive, Skeeter struggles with basic motor skills.
You know who else had background
checks? Skeeter has
Hitler.
Obama derangement syndrome.
I have to play that beat up on Hillary thing.
Many people thought a cure was near in 2012.
I'll be over here standing my ground.
But the Skeeter of the world remind us we have so far to go.
Teachers should have 50 caliber machine guns.
Do your part now by texting read a friggin' book to any Yahoo News comment.
Stephanie Miller's a race trainer.
Together, we can help the Skeeters of the world find their way out of their bubble.
Gravity's a hoax.
And into our solar system.
Al Jazeera has a big house.
Help save a Skeeter from hurting himself.
Oh, it's an election year. Oh, Skeeter Pack.
Oh, I blinded myself with a rubber spork.
Oops.
Look who's on the phone. It's your girlfriend, Queen Bee from Tennessee. Hi, Queen Bee.
Hi, y'all. Hello, sexy Chris.
Hi, Queen Bee. How are you?
I'm terrific.
Awesome.
Stephanie.
Yes.
A 90-year-old blind retarded possum knows that you cannot be president if you were not born in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So, can you please settle this for me? Is Ted Cruz eligible to run because he was born in Canada, or is he not?
He is not.
And is he a possum?
So why do the right wing keep saying, our bench is deep. We have Rand Paul and Ted Cruz. And why do they keep doing that if he's not eligible?
I don't know. It's all they've got, Queen Bee.
They've got that and a blind possum.
I hate that teabagger to be the president.
All right. Queen Bee, we love you. Call it to it.
I love you, too.
All right. Don't be so long in between calls. Aw. We love her. Don't we, Wrong Tree?
You know, I take it where I can get it.
All right. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Someone needs to stop me before I do something stupid.
Oops, too late. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Jim is scribbling comedy. We'll have a comedy bit coming up a little bit, everybody. Okay, and Jackie Schechner, of course, live in studio. All right. By the by, so we've been talking about Ukraine, obviously, a lot. Catherine from California says, Steph, how much do we have to pay Mexico to take Texas back? There's an idea. I'll bet they'll do it for a lot less than the $1 billion. Texas continually denies their people constitutionally protected reproductive freedoms, basic health care services, and a living wage. We can give Mexico all the federal dollars we spend on SNAP benefits to the Walmart family, can keep accruing unconscionable wealth, and while we're at it, let's give them Arizona as well. All right. Rick Perry would be down with that, wouldn't he?
Sure.
Oops.
All right. Speaking of un-American, by the by, so Representative Elijah Cummings, this was incredible. We were talking about this off the top of the show. It did look awkwardly like a scene from 12 Years a Slave. It was Daryl has to make a very unfortunate actual cutting motion with his finger about cut his mic.
And, yeah, during a hearing on of the House Oversight Committee into allegations, really, again, with the IRS, Representative Elijah Cummings exploded at Daryl Issa. He charged the way in which the proceedings were being conducted were un-American.
Mm-hmm.
In apparent protest, Issa walked out of, then turned off his mic and walked out of the committee hearing.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
well, was un-American is him denying
right.
him the 5 minutes that he was owed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is that's what he was saying. He's like, you can't. What he said is, let's see. He said, if you will sit down and allow me to ask a question, I'm a member of the Congress of the United States of America. And he said, I'm tired of this. You can't just have a one-sided investigation. There is absolutely something wrong with that. It's absolutely un-American. So he shuts his mic. He said, we had a hearing. It was adjourned. I gave you an opportunity to ask your questions. You had no questions. Elijah Cummings said, I do have questions. Chairman, what are you hiding? And so then
right.
just walks out in a huff. Here is Elijah Cummings yesterday.
For the past year, the central Republican accusation in this investigation, we're adjourned. Close it down.
Wow.
Wow. I mean, and again, not to mention, I love this piece in Salon, Daryl Issa's newest IRS scandal revelation. Daryl Issa is bad at investigating scandals.
Yes.
I mean, this was just a stunt on his part. He knew that she was going to take the fifth
yep.
again so that he could try to make it look like she's hiding something. And it's like, oh, my God. This has been investigated and reinvestigated.
Uh-huh. Even there was no scandal. There's no there.
Right.
Even Issa said yesterday, you know what, we may have reached a dead end with this. We may have come to the
yeah,
conclusion.
You think? I mean, the evidence that's come out is they targeted progressive groups just as much
yes,
as
Republican.
It did not come from the White House. It's like, what? Anyway. Yeah, this is Salon writes. This is where he's at today. He called former IRS official Lois Lerner back before the committee so that she could plead the fifth again and he could, I don't know, hold a press conference about how evil the IRS is. Lerner took the fifth. Issa adjourned the committee. Then Elijah Cummings attempted to speak. Issa decided it would be a smart move to cut Cummings' mic. He did the little throat cut move and everything. Better luck next scandal, Daryl. Salon writes, thank you. Oi, they're here they are yesterday.
You will sit down and allow me to ask a question. I am a member of the Congress of the United States of America. I am tired of this.
Well,
we have members over here, each who represents 700,000 people. You cannot just have a one-sided investigation. There is absolutely something wrong with that, and this is absolutely un-American.
Hear, hear.
We had a hearing. Adjourned. I gave you an opportunity to ask a question. You have a question.
I do have a question.
I gave you an opportunity.
General, what are you hiding?
He's taking the fifth, Elijah.
That's good. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
What did he say?
He's taking the fifth.
Brilliant.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like you can't stamp out free speech in America by turning off a microphone. Guess what, asshat? There's another microphone over there, and they're recording this whole thing. Daryl Issa.
He was talking into a mic in an adjourned meeting. The fact is Mr. Cummings came to make a point of his objections to the process we've been going through. He was actually slandering me at the moment that the mics did go off. By claiming that this had not been a real investigation.
Hmm.
This had been a bipartisan investigation by multiple committees in which we had testimony in multiple hearings, including Mr. Jordan's subcommittees, in which it was very clear there was targeting of conservative groups, in which there were people who were acting outside the norm. We're going to continue our investigation.
God, he is unbelievable.
Yeah.
He really is. And the boner yesterday.
At some point, I believe that she has to testify, or she should be held in contempt.
Excuse me? And furthermore.
Okay, Max in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on this little scene yesterday. Hello, Max.
Hey, Steph, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I just want to point out that Elijah Cummings is really in a no-win situation here. Because of the way the Oversight Committee rules are, Daryl Issa has the power to call whoever he wants and limit whoever says whatever. Case in point with his Tell Me Your Obamacare horror stories that he did a few weeks back. Do you remember that?
Right.
Yeah.
So he has absolute and complete power to shape the conversation in whichever way he sees fit. And no sooner than did he cut off a hearing, did he go to Greta Van Susteren to get fawned over by all the idiots at Fox News? So, in Elijah Cummings, I could see it where, you know, everyone just thinks that he's a pissed off black guy again. So, I mean, it really, people lack a fundamental understanding of how the Oversight Committee works and, you know,
yeah. Well, I gotta say, you know, Max, what we were saying is, I think that's backfiring on them, because honestly, like I was saying, Jan Brewer sticking her finger in the president's face looked like a scene from The Help. I mean, it's just these are not helping them, you know, in terms of their, what is Reince Priebus call it? Minority outreach? How's that going for you?
It's not going very well.
Every time Ann Romney talked to a black television anchor, it looked like a scene from The Help. You people.
Yeah.
Gotten all you're gonna get from us. There's a Negro in the White House using the same bathroom. Okay, Darren in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Darren.
Hi. I wanted to just reiterate what the last caller said. Cummings was speaking out of turn. You can't just speak out of turn, and that's why he got cut off, because you got to speak in a process. And he was speaking
Speaking out of turn.
No.
He didn't like what he had to say.
Speaking out of turn.
No, he had 5 minutes to rebut what he had said, and he didn't give it to him. He cut him off.
The chairman has the right to decide who speaks and who doesn't speak, and you can't speak out of turn. And
he wasn't speaking out of turn. He didn't like what he was saying.
He was speaking while black.
Obama targeted his enemies. Let me talk. Obama targeted his enemies, the Tea Party.
It's not your show, dude.
You're talking out of turn.
How can you not say that that didn't happen? It did happen. And it didn't target the progressive group. They targeted the conservative groups.
They targeted
Darren. Gentle down.
They targeted both.
It's okay.
Gentle down.
It's all right.
Now,
because they did not deserve Representative
Cummings gets 5 minutes to rebut.
He started to rebut.
Shh.
Okay. Okay.
He's speaking out of turn now.
Would you like a lolly?
Okay.
Elijah, Representative Cummings gets 5 minutes to rebut. He started to rebut. His mic was cut off because ISA, the chairman of the committee meeting, didn't like what he had to say.
No,
it's pronounced ISA. We are here in California. He is a representative from California.
Have you ever been an air traffic controller? I mean, not a controller, a reporter. You sound like a guy we used to work with.
Are you okay? Did you burst a blood vessel there, Darren?
No.
Okay, maybe he did. All right.
God.
Doesn't
he like, speak out of turn! Speak out of turn! He's speaking out of turn!
He said speaking out of turn.
Right.
Yes.
I believe he was speaking. I think he was demonstrating speaking out of turn.
Yes, he was. Yes. It was a very good demonstration.
He had to be soothed.
Enjoy the people that think I don't have a right to talk on my show.
Yes.
You be quiet! I'm talking!
Doesn't he sound like that guy we used to work with? Remember the traffic copter?
He never got over that cold he had.
Yeah, I'm just laying. Let's make it out of the turn. Hi, Stephanie. We're things are back now at the 405. Porter built the cave and see traffic copter.
Apparently, I'm allergic to the traffic copter because my nose stuffed up all the time.
Apparently, I forgot to take my Claritin before I went up to the traffic copter, Stephanie. Now, here's what is fairly happening. Could be a long ride on the
101. That was a big mucus fill on the 405.
It's like a pukey morning radio DJ had sex with Edith Ann. That's what that. I wanted to blow his nose for him. My daddy used to do that. He used to take out his cloth hanky, which is very unsanitary.
Yeah.
When I was crying, it's like, and then he put it back. Ooh. Right.
That's why you have several of them and throw them in the washing machine.
That's why I don't have a puker voice anymore, because my daddy blew my nose for me, and I wanted to do that to that guy.
And you also built up your antibodies to germs.
Right.
That's why.
I did that.
Right. I wanted to do that to him, even though he was
probably soaked in whiskey, so, you know.
No, it was not.
That killed all the germs.
You know, being Goering's poker buddy and all.
Goering's pal. Okay. I wanted to do that to that guy. I wanted to just go, blow. Aw, good boy. Okay.
Daddy, your handkerchief smells like scotch.
Now here's a lolly. Okay. I'm having fun again. Okay, Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning. You know, that caller lost, he forgot something. We have an inside voice and an outside voice.
That's right.
And he needs to use his inside voice.
Yes.
Two things. One is that Lois Lerner was a Bush appointee.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She was appointed in 2005, started working in that division in January 2006. You will notice Republicans never want to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't fit the narrative.
That seems awkward. Yes.
Yeah, that would be very Obama. You know, it has nothing to do with Obama. She was well ensconced long before he took office. So they never want to talk about that. The other thing is that ISA has now wasted $15 million of taxpayer
right.
money.
Yep.
And I think he should have to write a check
yep.
right before he goes to jail.
Pay it back with interest.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Sue.
You may have to steal a few more cars.
To pay us back. But, you know, whatever. We'll turn the other way. All right. Hey, everybody. Jan and Amherst is on the phone. We'll talk to
him. Oh, yeah.
Maybe you can explain the mortgage crisis again.
Right. It's a room full of black guys.
Right. 46.
They're all named Elijah.
Isn't he the one that knows the Pontillo brothers?
Yes, I believe he's the one that started spreading the original vicious rumors about me.
And the Pontillo brothers back in Lockport.
Okay, 46 minutes after the hour. This is awkward. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour.
Now with more random noises.
Yeah.
It's the printer.
Were you printing something?
Gentle down. Okay, 1-800. Would you have overstartled the response?
No, it's just...
made you flinch.
Usually we wait until the commercial break begins.
Well, I guess I didn't.
Okay. I'm fired. I'm going on vacation early.
All right.
Okay, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, and Jackie Schechner on her way in. Mm-hmm. Well, looky here in squeezy news. Massachusetts' highest court ruled Wednesday that it is not illegal to secretly photograph underneath a person's clothing, a practice known as upskirting.
Oh!
Okay. We have a comment from...
Hello, I'm Father McGrobe Cossack from the Boston Archdiocese. You may have heard of the Texas congressman who had some concerns about the filthy, lascivious gyrations of certain Texas cheerleaders. I regret to inform you that Congressman McFeel Pence expired while inspecting... A cheerleader human pyramid from below.
Oh.
Presumably to determine whether the girls were wearing panties at the time. I gather they were not. So at least the good congressman died with a smile on his face, among other things. Dominus vobiscum, congressman.
Oh, no. Uh-oh. Now he's killed Squeezy and Boo-Boo.
Boo-Boo. Boo-Boo Bear.
So cold, Yogi. She shot me, Yogi.
No, Sarah Palin killed Boo-Boo.
Sarah Palin shot Boo-Boo in a previous sketch on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yep. And then Yogi mauled Sarah Palin in my bit.
So, right, it's not like there wasn't a silver lining in there.
Right.
Okay, hey, it's Jan and Amherst up the transit from Manna's hometown of Lackport, New York.
How are those Pontillos?
I have no idea. The whole family's kind of disintegrated.
Oh.
Nothingness.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Hey, listen. Hi, how's everyone? You know what? I this thing about Elijah Cummings' outrage from yesterday because he couldn't ask a question.
Yes,
I saw him on several shows after the after this little thing going on in Congress yesterday, and he never was asked, "What were you going to ask Lois Lerner?" And the odd thing about that is that Lois Lerner was a witness that they couldn't ask anything because if she answered one question, she would have to answer all the questions. And, you know, Elijah Cummings coming out with this phony outrage, he didn't have a question to ask her. He just wanted to rail on the Republicans for what he saw as a witch hunt.
He had five minutes for rebuttal. Right. He had a question. He is a United States congressman.
No.
He is allowed to make a statement and ask a question.
You have so much stuff. You're more locked in with the Democrats than I am. Go ask any Democrat to ask Elijah Cummings, what were you going to ask her? Just a question. One stupid, it's stupid, but if you...
He had
so
5 minutes to rebut.
The question,
right.
What was
and
the question?
He had the floor for 5 minutes for rebuttal. It doesn't matter what he asked.
No. This was for asking questions. This was not. No, he wanted to.
It's for rebuttal.
About the Republicans.
John,
5 minutes for rebuttal.
Exactly.
And I said wouldn't
rebuttal can include
how
the microphone.
How do you have a rebuttal if you cannot ask the question of a witness? She can't answer. What do you guys? Are you guys nuts or something? If she were to answer one question, she would have to answer all the questions. There was really no.
But he wasn't under the Fifth Amendment.
Exactly.
He wasn't taking the Fifth Amendment.
No.
Yeah, it's not just a Republican hearing there. There are Democrats on the committee as well to hold the other side, the Republicans in charge, accountable.
Well, for what? Well, they don't want the truth, and they don't want to know any questions. They just want to rail on someone.
That's all these hearings are, is Daryl Issa railing about stuff with no evidence.
She was a Bush appointee. Yeah.
She
already answered all the questions.
So many times, this lady was in the White House dozens, if not hundreds of times.
And she was a Bush appointee.
Now, what the heck is the IRS commissioner going to be in the White House for that many times?
Oh, my God.
And she was a Bush appointee.
John, move on. You've got nothing. Good day, sir.
God.
Can't ask questions because
right.
White House black guy.
Exactly.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Okay. All right, Scott in Massachusetts.
God, that was more incoherent than usual.
Yeah.
That's saying something. Hello, Scott in Massachusetts.
Oh, hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good. I just want to first off a couple of things. Number one, this is my 1 year anniversary of being a stepdad.
Yay. Happy birthday. Who's a birthday boy?
Thank you. I'm going to renew, of course.
Yay.
Because you are the wind beneath my wings.
Aww. Did you see Beth sing it at the Oscars?
Thank you. And Jim, please continue making those Lindsey Graham episodes because they are so funny. And Chris,
yes.
Please continue yelling at the trolls, please. I appreciate that.
Doing what to the trolls?
Yell at them.
Oh, yelling at the trolls. Although you are modulating much better today.
Bite me.
Thank you for saying that in a well-modulated tone.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right. Suck my... Okay, Jane and... Jane and Boca, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Jane.
I actually have something that all of Democrats can do instead of just complaining. They can actually call Washington and make a couple of phone calls. 202-224-3121 connects you to any senator or congressman's office. I would suggest we make at least two phone calls. Call Congressman Cummings' office and congratulate him and give him whoopahs for doing what he did. And call ICE's office and tell him to stop being such a jerk. And get this up already. The American people are a little smarter than that.
Yeah, them. We want our tax money back.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
While you're at it, ask him, where's my car, bitch?
Yeah, where's my car? Okay, Mariano in San Antonio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you, Stephanie. You know, I've been listening to the radio over this IRS employee that took the fifth since yesterday. And all the callers that have, or seems like all the callers that have called in are so upset. The ones on the right, they're so upset that they're screaming into the phone at the host.
Mm-hmm.
They
yes.
won't let the host get a word in edgewise. And one, I think that's because they realize they're losing ground with the public. And they're so upset, so angered that they can't do anything else about it. They're so frustrated.
Yeah.
I just find it amazing. And
yeah,
another thing,
exactly.
I don't know if you guys could answer this. I heard on the tape, somebody in the background give Senator Cummings a hear.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, that was someone in the gallery.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, Jackie Schaffner next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. Of course it's time to feel good. Why, look who's here.
It's Schaffner again. The trunk's
she'll be twirling.
Yep, twirly, twirly. I did actually think about that because I was home for Sexy Liberal. I was in Fort Lauderdale, and my mom was going to the storage closet, and I said, yeah, do we have those old batons? And then I thought better of it.
Oh, damn.
Oh, you should have. Can you still twirl them?
Yeah, I can still twirl. Probably not as flexy and bendy as I was before, but
don't get Jim going now.
I can, yeah.
Jackie Schechter was the hit of Fort Lauderdale Sexy Liberal.
I heard.
People were so excited.
I had such a good time. It was really fun.
Your mom and I, we threw a few back after the show.
I,
mom can party.
Isn't that great? My mom's like, I said, do you want to come for a drink? She's like, yes, I do.
Jackie said, are you sure you don't want to go home and go to bed? She's like, no, I would like to go out with the Sexy Liberals.
She did, and she held her own. I was impressed. She ordered a vodka tonic.
Like, and everyone was talking about how beautiful Jackie Schechter and her mom are.
Yeah, my mom is a beautiful woman.
And see, we can prove that you are alive because it looked like we were autoerotic
asphyxiating you?
Backstage.
But that's liberal. I hate that photo. It was such a weird facial expression, and you look like, I'm putting that up. I was like, can we not? Can we retake that one?
But there's a lovely one of you and Roland looking like newlyweds backstage.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. My mother wanted to meet Roland for a really long time because she's heard me talk about Roland.
Who doesn't?
Right. So we introduced her to Roland, and then she's like, I want to get a picture of you two. And I said, the last time we had a romantic picture like this was at inauguration.
That's right.
Where it was like super late at night. Yes. I'm wearing this like backless gown.
I remember his
gropey hands all inside.
Were out all
of
night,
it, right?
Yes.
It was like for a gay man, he's awfully handsy.
He's a little handsy with you. Well,
it was great. So we took another photo and it came out really well. So we decided that when we get married, it'll be our New York Times wedding style section photo.
Right. You're going to be the left wing Michelle Bachman.
Exactly. Yes.
Just totally. Just pretend that you don't.
Although Roland's like 1,000 times harder than Marcus. So.
Yeah, and I've seen his balls and you haven't, but you know.
Oh, no, well, I can't.
His balls had their own Twitter account.
They did.
Do they really?
Yeah.
They probably have more followers than I do.
I go on vacation with them, and there was one bike trip that I saw them. And
well, then he was wearing...
And this is our America today, they got their own Twitter.
That's going to be my next plea on Twitter. I have fewer followers than Roland's balls. Could you please
and
follow me?
And interestingly, he has two left balls, which is...
which is weird.
Medical miracle.
But that's a true liberal. Now... Jackie Schechter.
Yes.
And you were talking about because you're not used to traveling. You've done Sexy Liberal here in L.A. with us back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But this was your first road show, although it's your hometown.
Well, yeah, I think we did D.C. when we did inauguration.
Oh, D.C., that's right.
Inauguration. We were doing the show from out there, too.
Right, we all went. But anyway, but your cat, Emmy,
does not enjoy traveling. No, I don't know if you can hear. She likes to make a lot of noise. So she finds things around the apartment that she can knock herself against or she can rub herself against. And then she throws up. So it's always the first night I'm home. Yeah, no. It's the first night I'm home after traveling. It's a night of torture and terror.
Oh,
and
I'm sorry. Am I making too much noise? Am I making too much? Oh, sorry. Oh, I guess I was just used to this being a big empty apartment with no one here taking care of me.
Have you seen the YouTube video of cats throwing up to techno music?
No, but that is probably hysterical.
Hysterical. I'll show it to you at the break.
Really? Really, cat people? You are so close to being just an old cat lady.
Meow,
you know what I'm saying?
Meow, here, kitties. Here, Twilight. Here, Boxcar. Teddy. Where's Mommy's little shoe face? Come, Popcorn. That's right. Frisky time. Frisky. Oh, help Mommy.
And then they eat them.
Oh, really?
They eat her. Yeah.
I only have one, so I don't know if that qualifies.
Emmy will eat you if you die.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I don't believe in a house with more pets than people. So, you have two dogs.
Oh.
Oh. Not my only nephew. Did she underscore that you live alone.
Oh, no, that's not what I meant.
My nephew's living here now, baby. So technically
is
we're
really?
Two and two. Two dogs, two people.
I hear your nephew is handsome and romantic.
Oh, he's very handsome. He's up in bed. You want to go? Why don't you go?
Kinda.
Let's see what's up.
Does he play for my team?
Sometimes.
Is this one of those mornings?
It could be. Let's go find out. All right. Hey, speaking of love, can I have my love music, please? You know, Macaroni, the official rapper of the Stephanie Miller Show. Mama and the Mooks, because this is You've Experienced Now, the whole...
sexy liberal family. It's incredible. Mom and Moogs, last year you guys and so many Steph heads helped me with a scholarship to Netroots Nation.
Yes.
You go. You've been, right?
I've been, yes, a couple of times.
Besides having the pleasure of meeting Jackie Schechner.
We did. Last year we took a picture and everything.
And getting photobombed by Tina Dupuy.
Oh, I have that photo. I can tweet that out later if people haven't seen that. I'll send that bone back out.
Sorry,
again.
Jim. Your thoughts were what? Okay. I met many more of our great progressives. I owe so much of you to Steph and Chris and John and Jim, too. This Netroots Nation is in Detroit. I want to go again. I'm also planning on teaming up with some fellow Steph heads who I consider good friends, good people. And would never have met without the Stephanie Miller Show and the Sexy Liberal Tour. I've met people from all over the country. In Stephland, people who on the outside may seem different hang out together. We're an island of misfit toys, clearly. That's how we roll.
I want to be a dentist.
Right. We support that. Or an elf. We find over time that we all have more in common than we probably thought, but that wouldn't have found out if we didn't have that first thing in common, the Steph Show. Yay! Can you please help again? We literally would not be in this if it wasn't for the Steph Heads, the chat room, the network of Steph fans on Facebook. Thank you, Mama and the Mooks. And we will put up a link, but go hit the like button for our friend Macaroni.
Yeah, I went to Netroots Nation when it was yearly posed when it first started, and I at the time was a correspondent for CNN covering yearly posed.
So. You know, I could tell you used to be a correspondent for CNN because you paused ever so briefly before you said balls. You could tell that you were not used to. You were like, is it okay to say?
That's where I first heard of you. I was watching like the debut of the Situation Room or something, and they brought you on as the technology expert.
Yeah, I started on Inside Politics with Judy Woodruff,
yeah.
And then they changed over to the Situation Room, and we became the Situation. We were inside the blogs,
right?
And then we became the Situation Online.
Okay,
and that's how that segment changed. But we were covering blogs and
Twitter and its early days,
Facebook, and long before anybody ever did it.
Right.
We were. I mean, technically, by 2 days, I'm the first.
Do you have a little touchscreen?
I'm the first ever internet correspondent in TV news.
Yeah.
And we had the touchscreen before the magic wall ever became a thing.
Wow.
And we used to create. I mean, there's so much behind the scenes on that, but we used to create. Right. We take the web page and we'd use this program to blow it up onto the big screen and create the pages that you could. See on television, and then page through them live on the air. So, it was a
lot
of work.
And then she started having a situation with us on Current TV.
I did.
And we had a lot of situations.
I had a lot more leeway in that. CNN was a little tighter in its parameters of what I could do and talk about.
And now we're here today just in time to celebrate the 50th repeal of Obamacare by House Republicans. You know, let's wrap to the sexy liberal macaroni wrap. It's the 50th. And we're here with Jackie Schechner.
Are you raising the roof?
Yep.
Look up what you get for your 50th anniversary.
Yeah, let's see.
That's gold.
Nice girl. She do some nice things, like occasionally pissing off the right wing. Every morning I wake up and do the right thing. Steph and the Mooks help start my day off nicely. I'm invested. I'm well rested. Off the sexy liberal, the gathering of Steph heads. She in your town, only one night. She brought Jim, Chris, even Rocky Mountain Mike.
Yeah.
I'm about to turn up the night like I'm Kenny Pick. I'm about to burn up the mic, man, I'm really sick. I'm addicted, like a meth head. Hello, my name is Macaroni, I'm a Steph head. Progressive, minded on the issues. Will somebody give Vader a tissue? Cause we don't play the politics of skin tone. That's Obama derangement syndrome. Are you ready for the show? Sexy liberal. Sexy liberal.
Yep. All right. Thank you.
That's a good one.
Oh my God. He has the cutest video up to that. Did you see it, Chris? He has the cutest little kids in the video.
Yep.
And they're wearing like fake, you know, afros. Okay, here and dancing.
Oh, we have a video we can put up on your Facebook page.
Yeah, we put up before. I'll repost it.
Do it again. Do it. Princess, do it.
Yes.
So, 50th time. WTF.
Yeah.
WTF.
Yeah. No, I think this one was about repealing the individual mandate because they have delayed employer responsibility, and so what they'd like to do is now push back the individual mandate, ultimately get rid of it. I think, and that failed. Shocker.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, but what I want to mention, I think, is really important, is that. I mean, I don't like the idea of being forced to buy private health insurance either. I don't think that's a great idea. But the reason why that's in there, the reason why people have been asked to buy health insurance is because if you're going to cover everybody, if you're going to get everybody into the pool, you got to get sick people and healthy people too. Otherwise, you can't mitigate the risk. And so what would happen if we didn't have any sort of mandate is that people who were sick who were responsible.
This is why you need to be in charge. We've said this before. You need to be a healthcare czar. Why, Chris? Because who's better at getting everyone into the pool at my house when I have parties? Jackie. It's the only party I remember where everyone got in the pool.
That's true. Everybody did get in the pool. Oh,
I think that's how Jeff got in the pool and started making out with you.
Right. Yeah, right. Well, your gay friend.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm from Miami. I know how to rock a bikini. That's all I'm doing.
All right.
That's what's important, is that if you're going to make this work from a financial standpoint, you've got to get everybody in the pool. And so that's why the mandate is important to the insurance industry. Right. And I think it's so interesting that the Republicans continue to hammer on this, is like, you know, why do we need the individual mandate? And I'm sure behind the scenes, the insurance lobby is going, no, we need this. Because if you repeal that, then you don't get the healthy people in the way that the sick people or the people who are responsible, frankly, who know that they may have a problem and have to pay for it down the line, are buying health insurance preemptively. So I'm not in favor of it. I'm not saying I think that we should be forced to buy private health insurance. I think there should be a public option in the mix.
Yeah.
But that's why it's in there.
Yep, so. I hear you. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, we roll along with more Jackie Schechner live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
You just blew my mind.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Particularly the guys with no Kadar, like Eddie Money.
Yeah.
Eddie Money hit on me on the plane on the way back from Fort Lauderdale. Uh-huh.
How'd that go?
Listen, oh my God, you know what Jackie's doing right now?
What?
Some healthcare statistics? No.
Computer says no.
She's trying to find the link to the techno music with cats puking.
No. I'm sending out that shot from Netroots Nation with the Tina Dupree photo.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Like she promised.
Well, you guys were just watching cats puke to techno music.
Cats puking to techno.
That was amazing.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's a more amazing one I'm going to show you during the next break.
Okay, Jackie. You know, CPAC starts today. Chris Christie speaking this morning.
Yes.
New Washington Post ABC News poll found that 3 in 10, that's almost 30%, Jeff, say they would not vote for Chris Christie. His fortunes continue to fall.
This is what I love about CPAC. Hard hat. Every year, Ron Paul wins the straw poll.
Right.
And every year they say somebody else won.
Yep.
They just pretend he doesn't exist.
Exactly.
And they're like, CPAC is the precursor to what's going to happen, and we can tell from the CPAC polls who's going to win.
Right.
And it's always Ron Paul, and they always ignore him.
Right. Exactly. Let's go to John in California. You're on with Jackie. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi,
yes.
John.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, hello.
I wanted to call. Now that Jackie's on, I had a question for Jackie.
Okay.
I was originally... we've been, maybe it's more like a weather report, because we started trying to sign up on Covered California in October, and it took us 5 times, and finally we got an insurance company involved, and now we've made our payment, and we're still waiting for our card. So don't worry, if you're in Covered California, you're going to get the same crappy quality of service that insurance companies always give you.
Yeah, it's not the the exchange's fault. What's happening is they pass the information along, and then the insurance companies are sitting on it. I'm guessing you probably have Blue Cross or Shield. But what they're doing is people sign up, and then the insurance companies just do nothing for a while, and it makes people frustrated, and they blame Covered California, or they blame the Affordable Care Act. It is the same crappy service you've been getting from your insurance company all along, because that's who's responsible for all of this, and the insurance companies. So.
Well, Hillary Clinton recently, I've saved my whole health care stack for you.
I love
that.
I feel special.
And Chris is stockpiling cat videos. So just
y'all know me.
What else would I stockpile?
Exactly. She acknowledged Obamacare is imperfect, but praised many of its reforms. Described the law overall as good. And this is what you say: you always intended when you helped us get this nice thing, Jackie Schechner. Please and thank you.
You married
that we
very
might
welcome.
Need some fixes.
Well,
yeah.
I mean,
she said, I think we're on the right track in many respects, but I'd be the first to say if things aren't working, then we need people of good faith to come together and make evidence-based changes. And she says part of the challenge is to clear away all the smoke and try to figure out what's working and what isn't. But she said, let's not throw out the baby with the
bathwater. I totally
agree.
And that's why I say all the time. First of all, that's why I couldn't be a spokesperson for it, because I'm more than happy to admit it's got some problems.
That makes you a more honest spokesperson for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem, is you can go out and you can defend the Affordable Care Act, but you have to admit that there are some areas that could use improvement. But think about this, is when we were trying to pass health care reform, we did it with so much opposition.
Yeah. And right. continue.
So we couldn't, as you keep saying, we couldn't even get a public option. We couldn't make a lot of the fixes that, you know,
would have helped.
Yes.
Yeah. And look at what's happening now. I mean, they're wasting, the Republicans in the House are wasting taxpayers' time and dollars
right.
trying to repeal this for the 50th time.
Yeah. And that's why elections are so important. It's important it's an election year because this is how we got here with that crappy election in 2010.
Yeah. It's yeah. exactly what happened. And so now we're just wasting time and money holding the same votes over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, I think, I mean, if I were a Republican or a conservative voter, I'd be really pissed off
yeah.
that my party is wasting time and money on stuff that doesn't matter.
And don't, because you're going to hear this in election year about, oh, no, no, we have a plan. And we've talked about this before, but I saved this one for you, too. GOP's own health care bill will lead to 1 million to lose employer-sponsored insurance. So all the same crap they keep throwing yeah. at the Affordable Care Act. A new report finds health reform would reduce the number of people receiving employer-based coverage, increase dependence on government-sponsored health care, and raise the national deficit. That's the GOP bill.
Yeah, it's not a plan. It's not a bill.
Yeah.
They had plenty of time to weigh in, and they did, and they had plenty of time to put forth what they allegedly proposed. And I say that because had McCain won or had Romney won, healthcare wouldn't even be on the agenda. So, you know, they
right.
talk about how they have this plan. It's not real.
It has the same. Well, what they're saying is CBO concluded the GOP proposal would have the very same problems Republicans have been bitching about in Obamacare
yeah.
and cover a lot less people.
Yeah,
and,
the, yeah. If you dig into any detail, I mean, you really just have to scrape the surface with a penny like a lottery ticket
yeah.
to discover that it's totally useless and it's just a lot of words.
Yeah. Let's go to Dory in Massachusetts. You're on with Jackie. Hey, Dory.
Hey, baby. I have an analogy for Chris.
Analogies for Chris.
No.
I'm calling about the upskirting issue in Massachusetts.
Yes.
The way the law was written, they had no other way to rule that
exactly.
not illegal.
That's what I heard this morning.
If you could have seen the faces on the legislators and even the lawyers involved, they were dumbfounded.
Yeah, it was based on a really old Peeping Tom law where the
yeah,
person...
Yeah, 10-year-old Peeping Tom law.
Right, where the person had to be completely naked in order for it to be a crime.
I know, but
yeah.
what they're doing now is they're talking about going back, examining that law,
mm-hmm.
and revising
right.
it.
Right.
And I'm so sorry I don't have an analogy for you, sweetie.
Yeah,
yeah, but that's why the Massachusetts court ruled that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was based on a really old law.
You want to know the best analogy of the week about Ukraine? It came from Natan, our director. He said it's like OJ. That was his excuse. They were like, well, Crimea used to belong to Russia. And OJ said, like, that was my stuff. I was just taking it back. And the judge said, no, you go to prison because that's armed robbery. But he's like, but it was mine. I was just taking my thing back.
We will see what the people of Crimea say in their referendum election on the 16th.
I think they will say that Natan is brilliant. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour. I'm going to guess that part makes the video cast today. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Where's my wine?
All the glasses are in the dishwasher.
Well, use that squeezy bottle that I take to spin class. Here's your medicine.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show with my fellow spinner, Jackie Schechter.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I got
a different connotation depending on the content.
No, spinning, bicycle class.
She's a spinner.
Sorry, we were just talking about Richard Quest.
Wow.
That was a different thing entirely. All right.
Small.
Don't you think we should have?
I am well aware of where I fit in.
Don't you think we should have Wolf Blitzer introduce her like in the old day?
We'll have to leave her there.
It's Jackie Schechter.
Jackie Schechter, who, unlike me, does not live on hard cheese and drywall.
Seriously, I know you worked with Wolf and you love him, but did he get kicked in the throat by a horse? What happened?
I don't know.
That's part of his charm.
That's his voice.
My beard is choking off my vocal cords.
One of my favorite CNN anecdotes, though, is we used to do the situation online, and it was always a segment. They would push it to the end because
right.
they considered it disposable.
Right.
And so we'd have this whole thing prepared. I'd spend my whole day working on something and making sure that I verified all the facts, and it would be like a 45-second piece,
mm-hmm.
and they'd get in my ear and be like, can you do it in 20? Like,
Oh wow.
I can try. Well, if you can't, we'll drop it. Well, then I guess I'll give you the news in 20 seconds.
Oh boy.
Here we go.
Yay.
And then people write in and they're like, why didn't you give the other side? I'm like, I don't know what you can do in 20 seconds.
That's like when we used to be in, you know, morning radio, music radio. Be like, be funny. And then in 8 seconds, it hit the post. Don't talk over the music.
Exactly.
Leak.
Nail that post.
Nail the post. Well, that did it, everybody. Well, that was a good DJ, everybody.
I was damn good at nailing the post, too.
Yeah,
bang
that post like that, but it doesn't. Okay.
I didn't really give a damn.
Again, different context, whole other difference.
Exactly.
Okay. Pam in New Hampshire, you're on with Jackie. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
2 points. I was watching your favorite man, Lawrence O'Donnell, last night.
Sweet mystery of life.
It sounds like Daryl Issa may have broken the law because the Washington, D.C. Circuit Court says you may not call someone to testify that's already pled the fifth to humiliate and embarrass them.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And, yes, and if they really want to do any investigation, there was only one person publicly going out and using their money against the Tea Party, and that was Karl Rove, who's Prosperity for America, and that's a Bush appointee running the IRS and a Republican. So who was putting their money against the Tea Party?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Well, yeah, I mean, if they renamed that group Prosperity for America's Top 1%, at least it would be a little more.
It would be a little more honest.
Yeah, honesty and broad.
Prosperity for the already prosperous.
Exactly. My friend Michael Tomasky, who we had on yesterday, I'm overpronouncing the A.
Yes, you are.
Just to be safe. Jack, you've talked about this a lot, but he wrote a piece called Show Me the Medicaid Money. Support for repeal of Obamacare dropped to 31% this week, but right-wing states still rejecting billions in free money. Buckle up, Republicans. Obamacare is here to stay. Somewhat quietly, Obamacare enrollment hit 4 million, as we know. But he says the more people go to the website and see that they can get insurance at a decent price in most cases, the more they tell their coworkers and neighbors that doing so wasn't the horror show they expected.
And
the
they
more,
tell two friends and they tell two
right,
friends.
Right, Jim. And the more people learn about the law's benefits, the more opposition to it softens. There are still a few more things the American people need to learn about the law, though, and it's up to Democrats to tell them. And, you know, we were just looking at a poll yesterday that everyone goes, oh, it's going to be the, you know, you can't run on that in 2014. And a poll just yesterday showed that's not true.
Yeah, I would argue that Democrats would be better served to run on support of the Affordable Care Act. I think that that's a mistake. And I'm sure that polling shows differently and blah, blah, blah. But I do think it's a mistake. I think that the Democrats who go out and say, look, here's what we did. Here's what still needs to be done. Mm-hmm.
Here's what Republicans are blocking.
You. Yeah, I mean, I think Medicaid is a great example. The states that have decided not to expand Medicaid, here's what they're doing. The federal government says expand Medicaid to cover more people, basically anyone who makes 138% of the poverty level. We'll pay for it, 100% of it, for the first 3 years. Right, so there's absolutely no cost of that expansion to each state. Then after that, the amount that the federal government kicks in is no less than 90%.
Yeah.
So really, the states have time over the years, A, to see if it's successful, which it likely will be, and B, to find the funds to cover what is gradually then will become a maybe 10%, depending. But it can't drop any lower than 90%. So we're not talking about a financial strain on any of these states, definitely not in the first 3 years.
Well, makes
so there's no reason not to expand it. All you're doing is standing on bad principle and not covering your residents who need health care coverage.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's what he says. The ACA is here to stay. It's going to exist. Inevitably, it's going to grow. More and more people are going to get used to it and learn to live with it. And over time, people in states like Texas and Georgia and Wisconsin are going to see people, Chris, in nearby states that took the money and are, in fact, pretty happy with their situations. What did I say? A lot of people peeking over borders.
Hey.
What you got there?
What you got, California?
Can I get some of that?
By the way, are you going to eat all that?
It's only a matter of time, Tomasky finishes, before those resistant governors and state legislators start caving. Democrats have it in their power to help hasten that timetable by making this an issue, right?
Yeah.
They have the courage not to wilt or get the vapors whenever right-wing invokes the evil government or the hated Kenyan. Democrats say they've waited decades for this moment. Well, it's here. Now is not the time to run away from the fight. Right?
Yeah, well, Chris and I were chatting when I first came in, and he made a point about something we were talking about. He said, you can't run on details. And that's the problem, is that people don't really have the bandwidth right now to swallow details about things like the Affordable Care Act. Right. They're too stressed about other things. And I get it. People have everyday concerns, and they can't dig into the nuances of things like, I don't know, the healthcare law. But but I would argue that politicians would be better served and the public would be better served if they put policy above politics, and they stop playing politics. And this comes into what just happened yesterday, where the administration extended the opportunity for insurance companies to offer non-compliant plans, bad insurance plans,
yeah,
for an extended period of time. Now, the reason why a lot of those plans went away is because they were crappy plans.
I was just going to say.
They didn't
keep your crappy plan cost.
Yeah, that's what it is, right? They're just not comprehensive plans, and you didn't know what you were getting. And the reason why they went away is because the Affordable Care Act said you got to cover some basic things. If you're going to take people's money for insurance, there's a menu of basic things you have to cover. And the Republicans screamed bloody murder and basically said, you know, the president lied and you can't keep your plan. Well, you want to keep your crappy plan. Now the administration's turning around and saying, okay, you can keep it for a couple of years. I think that's a really bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes you force feed people the medicine that they need, and they'll realize it's good for them to have a plan that doesn't pull the rug out from under them when they're sick.
I agree with you. You've often said it's about messaging. It's about being stronger at, you know, because you're right. We all get like, the president lied. You can't keep your plan. It's like, yes, and here is why. This is the whole point of the Affordable Care Act. And you're right, we didn't come out strongly enough and say that.
And it was no accident that those letters went out about the same day that healthcare.gov went live.
Right.
There's no way that wasn't totally intentional.
Yeah.
That people started getting these, hey, by the way, your plan's going away, at the exact same time that we rolled out the website for enrollment in the public and the exchange plans.
Right.
So that was totally intentional. It's totally intentional what's happening now with people not getting access to their cards in a timely manner, not being able to find their providers in the networks online. I mean, this is all intentional. And if you think it isn't, you're kidding yourself.
Yep. Philip in Illinois, you're on with Jackie. Hi, Phil.
Good morning.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I was, yeah, good. We're good. I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous. That's the way I was my first day with Jackie Shackman.
I don't bite, unless you want me to.
I have heard, that'd be good. I have heard a vicious rumor that I have my own insurance.
Sorry.
I've heard a vicious rumor that once my employer gets insurance, he will cover me and I'll have to drop mine. Is this true? Untrue?
Well, if your employer, no, it's not true. If you want to pay for insurance on your own, then that's totally fine. You're welcome to do that. What the law requires is that employers offer affordable health insurance to their employees if they have more than 50 employees. There's no requirement for small businesses under 50 employees.
How about if they have 5?
Oh, no, there's no requirement. I mean, what happens is businesses like to offer, it's two things. A lot of businesses like to offer health insurance because, you can get a better plan when you have a group of people, right? It's more expensive to cover one person than it is to cover a group because you can pool resources. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that a lot of times, they end up offering better, benefits and then lower wages, mm-hmm. which, because it balances out that way. It was something that was started, I think, back after World War II.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's just continued into the modern day. And then a lot of times, too, there's a lot of companies that like to offer benefits, and I think this is really key, because it keeps people around. I mean, people like to have a job that offers them perks, and one of the perks is having your benefits covered, or at least a good portion of your premiums covered.
Right.
So those are all reasons why employers want to offer health insurance, and most of them do, frankly. But if you want to go out on the market and buy your own individually, and you can find one that's less expensive than what your employer offers, then you go ahead.
That's always been your prerogative.
Yeah, you have the freedom to do that. Right. Usually it's more expensive.
Right.
But if you want to, go right ahead. No one's going to stop you doing that.
George in Chicago, you're on with Jackie. Hi, George.
Hi, Mama. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
We sure could use you in Chicago right now with your heat. Did it chase our blues away and the snow would melt by sundown?
Hey, George sounds like he's got a bit of a cold.
I will be there in April.
Lots of us have colds right now.
I know.
Chicago in the winter.
Everybody sounds like a morning radio DJ.
He has a cold in his nose.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway.
We'll all talk like this to make you feel better.
Your earlier caller suggested that we call Daryl Issa's office, which I did.
Uh-huh.
And when you hit the prompt for leaving a comment for the Congress thug, excuse me, Congressman, you get shifted over to his district office in California, which since it's 2 hours earlier than Chicago, isn't open yet.
Uh-huh.
And you can't even leave a message.
Oh, isn't that convenient?
1 hour.
And for the fulminating right-wing caller who wouldn't shut up earlier, there's a standard procedure which has been used for decades. If you want to get a witness to speak under oath in front of a committee and they are concerned about their own future and are taking the Fifth Amendment, you contact that person's lawyers and you offer them immunity for prosecution in exchange for their testimony. And
yeah, I think Daryl,
hasn't done that because he knows there's nothing there.
Exactly.
And they can't do their dog whistle politics.
That's exactly it. He knows he's got nothing, so that's why he's not going to do that. This way he can just scream about it, and it's a stunt. It's a clown show. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of Jackie's Healthcare Corner on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's just implied, but we all know what's going on in this thought bubble. The kids don't know, but we do.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
He's talking about Rice Krispies, right? Getting it popping?
I just realized that Max looks at Jackie the exact same way that Jim does. Okay.
Well, I don't have my tongue hanging out most of the time.
Seems like it.
Yeah, you kind of do.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online. From anywhere, start your 30-day free trial of GoToMeeting today. GoToMeeting.com, click on the try it free button, use the promo code Stephanie. Thank God I have Obamacare because I think it may be a series of mini strokes.
What?
Whatever's happening with me. Not important now. All right.
They're pronunciifying.
Okay. Maybe I have whatever John Travolta has. Have you put your name in the
Adele
in the name
Dazeem?
I had, and mine was really boring. It was
really
like Jackson Spencer or something like that.
Oh,
it was weird. It wasn't. It wasn't very good.
Could you take out your organ for me, please, Chris, and get Michelle Bachman at the ready. Speaking with the Family Research Council. Tony Perkins, Jim.
No, Mother Plutt, no.
No, I just said it was the Family Research guy, not the, that guy. Okay. Representative Michelle Bachman warned that President Obama is threatening Israel and is doing so by fulfilling biblical prophecies and bringing about the end times. She said Obama is pressuring Israel to give up its land to terrorists allied with Al-Qaeda, which will lead to a final war, reducing and destroying to rubble Israel.
Has she retired yet?
Yay!
Not yet.
Oh, Jehovah God.
Come soon enough.
Lord, the day is at hand. Okay. We are in the last days.
Okay.
You are Jehovah God.
Okay.
I realize that she talks to God the way I talk to my dog.
How fast does she join Sarah Palin's Speaker's Bureau?
You are Jehovah Dog.
Yes, you are.
You are Jehovah Dog.
That's a ride.
Yeah. Okay, see? God spelled backwards.
So
the dog. Coincidence? No.
So when exactly is the day at hand? Because she's been saying that for years now.
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, that other guy was wrong every time, wasn't he? The end times prophecy guy?
No, yeah. I wake up the next day, the world's still here.
He'd be
damn
like,
it.
Damn. Oh, well. Gave away all my stuff. Sucks to be me.
Guess at the weather.
I bought the Nikes and cut my nads off. Now what?
Now what? Now I'm nadless. Thanks. Okay.
Nadless.
Louis in Chicago. You're on with Jackie.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Long time, first time.
Yay.
Okay.
And I have a question on the ACA. I have applied for the ACA, and I'm married. My wife and I were accepted. I have two children. One child at 7 years old was accepted, and the other at 12 was rejected.
Rejected from what? Did you go onto the exchange to try to buy private health insurance? Is that what you're talking about?
It was on the marketplace.
Okay, and so you went and you bought a plan, and they said, we'll accept your daughter and then not another one of the daughters?
That's right.
That doesn't make any sense.
No.
I know.
I would contact the insurance company and figure out what exactly they're talking about, because that doesn't make any sense.
But it's not the insurance company. I did get a policy through an insurance company, and I'm saving about $1,000 a month because of the Obamacare.
Right.
But it's the... on the marketplace to get my credit, my tax credit. So I don't qualify for tax credit going right to the insurance company, not through the marketplace. So
right,
I'm not
you have to go through the marketplace
credit.
In order to get a subsidy. That's correct.
But right, and when I did that, one child got accepted, the other child got rejected. Now the
wait,
question
wait,
is, do
you're
I do
reject, you're not saying rejected for health care, rejected for a subsidy?
For subsidy, Illinois Care, Illinois Children, you know, Medicaid. It was like the whole gamut. They said, go to a free clinic for her. And it's like, okay.
That's weird. I would ask to speak to a supervisor in that case. That doesn't, and not that I'm saying that you're not telling the truth on this, but something is wrong with that. That doesn't make any sense. If you're going to buy a family policy, it covers everybody in your family.
Yeah, that's the whole point of the ACA, right, is you can't reject people for pre-existing and such. Justin in Huntington Beach, you're on with Jackie. Hi, Justin.
Hey, guys, what's happening? First, I'd like to say, as always, thanks, Chris, for doing the Ustream. And just a quick, funny question for Jackie. Did you ever offer Wolf Blitzer, like, a bran muffin or a prune Danish? Because he certainly could use...
In addition to his cheese of a hard cheese and drywall?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
No.
You know, my story's a little bit long. You know, besides being the official stunt driver of the Stephanie Miller Show, I've been a licensed insurance agent in California since 1994.
Wow.
And so I'm signing up people. You know, my dad, you know, I'm a partner with my dad and his agency. I'm not there a lot, but he said I need help with this because he, you know, obviously wants to help people. So I signed up my right-wing teabagger and uncle, which is a great story for them because they're far right of a tail of the Hun politics. So they're in their mid-50s. They have a myriad of health problems, and they have a 20-year-old son. So I signed them up onto a Blue Shield plan, and I always thought Blue Shield and Anthem Blue Cross was the gold standard in California.
They are the largest in California, yeah.
And so I got them signed up on the January 1st date, okay, and then they made their premium payment, and which, by the way, I got them the silver plan for $155 a month, and they're getting a $14,000 a year subsidy because of their income.
Wow.
Which is pretty amazing. And so anyways, they get their cards, and my Uncle Don had some type of a seizure. They weren't really sure what it was. And so he went to the emergency room, which was covered because he actually got his card by the time he had to go to the emergency room. And so then he went to see his regular doctor, and I called his medical group, and I said, hey, do you accept the PPO plans from Blue Shield? And they said, of course we do. So he goes there, and the doctor orders, like, a CT scan, and then they ordered him to take a 24-hour EKG in the hospital. And they also ordered him to go home with a Holter device for 5 days to monitor his heart because they weren't sure where it came from. And I said, well, wait a second. Let's make sure this is covered. So then I called back to the doctor's office, and it turns out he was the very first person to go in with a medical plan from the exchanges.
Okay, we're running out of time.
Where this is going is that if you buy a plan on the exchange, it may or may not be treated the same way as if you bought it from the insurance company directly, which I've been discovering, and it's absolutely true. You need to call your doctors and tell them that you have a PPO or an HMO through the Cover California exchange, especially in California, because those networks are being treated differently by the insurance company. So you have to be careful and you have to double check.
Right.
And I think this is going to be a problem in California. It's something we've been talking about a lot. I know we're running out of time, but
thank you.
Check and make sure, because that's really important.
Thank you for doing Sexy Liberal Fort Lauderdale. Will you be joining Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang next week?
Yes,
I hope.
I'll be here next week.
Yay.
Definitely Thursday, maybe also Tuesday.
Oh, yay. All right. More Jack, double the Jackie Shatner. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.